Let's get right to the word this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2. Want to read verses 19. I believe I've preached this. I know that others have. I believe that Brother David preached this not long ago. Where Elisha purifies a spring. And I titled this message this morning, Are You the Cure or the Curse? The purpose of this church and the church is to bring healing to a barren land. But it's hard to bring healing to a barren land when you're not healed. And would you stand with me this morning? Let's honor God and the reading of His Word. 2 Kings chapter 2, we'll start in verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and he cast the salt in there. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask you today, Lord God, that you would speak to us. God, that you would have your way in our lives and our hearts. God, I ask for a supernatural outpouring, revival at Grace Fellowship Christian Church. God, you know every place. You know every barrier. You know every stronghold. God, you know every person, including me, God, that needs help and that needs healing. God, I ask you today that our minds would be made up, which we will be, the cure or the curse. Because, Lord, your word never changes. And, Lord, your heart for this church and the church as a whole is to bring healing to a barren land. And, Lord, let us not be blinded that all around us and amongst us there's barrenness. And so, God, we ask you, Lord, that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Man, all right, y'all with me. It's the early service. Hallelujah. Wipe the sleep out of your eyes. We're going to preach now. Amen. I said, I got a now word. It's not new. You've heard it 1,000 times, but it's for this morning. I can promise you, it's for this morning. I've done my best to seek God. My heart's pounding. I know it's the will of God because God wants to do something in this church. This is a reality, what I'm about to say. You can be thousands of miles away, and God will always deal with the shepherd of a church. Amen. I knew things were going on, and when I got back yesterday, I got waylaid. Amen. You know as a shepherd when things are going on. Amen. You just know there's disconnection because there's something that God does with a shepherd. Amen. No matter how far you are, that shepherd always knows where those sheep are. Amen. You know, and I thank God for that supernaturally only Jesus can do that. And so I'm just going to be completely honest. I've done my best to seek God for this morning. And I believe today is going to be a day of newness of life. Amen. I believe that. So I've already shared my title. Are we the cure or are we the curse? What are we the cure or the curse to what? To bring in healing to a barren land. Here's what the scripture says. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. The first thing that we have to know is, what city is he talking about? He's talking about Jericho. And if you look back, all the way back to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verses 17, here's what it says about this city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers we sent. So the problem is the city of Jericho has a curse in it. Can I tell you that there's a curse that's in the land today? Can I tell you that there's an enemy that is fighting the church today? Can I tell you that the church is very good at just acting like we're just good churchgoers and good Christians. Can I tell you, the city of Jericho had an appearance that seemed pleasant, but the water source was bad. Can I tell you that if the water source is bad, then everything is going to be bad? And here's what I heard God say. Right now, we have an appearance that looks good. We have an appearance to the world. Can I tell you that people globally look to this church for direction? But can I tell you, people can see one thing, but the Holy Ghost began to speak that on the inside, that the source of life is bad. See, if you don't have water, then you will die. And if you drink bad water, you will die. And so the source of the water, the source of life, was the water. Amen. And so it began to produce barrenness in the land. So can I tell you that Jericho had an appearance? Here's what the Bible says. And the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught." Can I tell you that many of us, we just come to church and we just sit here and the source of my life is bad? Can I tell you my waters are bitter? And I love what Luke Pogue said yesterday. He said, "Beware of bitterness, because bitterness makes disciples critics." I preached a message many years back about Judas judging Jesus, because Jesus looked at Judas and said, "Let her alone. She is washing my feet in preparation for the burial." Well, if you move from John 12 to John 13, then you will see where Satan entered the mind of Judas to betray Jesus. Why? Because God, can I tell you that I believe that Judas left undone what Jesus spoke to him, and he made room for the enemy to move right in his mind. And can I tell you, when we make room for the devil to move in, we judge somebody else's worship. We become critical of the way somebody treats Jesus. But I can tell you that Jesus rebuked Judas, and he said, "You better let her alone." Can I tell you, when you judge somebody else's worship, when you criticize somebody else's life, you move from being a disciple to a critic. But I love what critics do. Brother Mike Chisholm said that critics will tell you things that your friends won't tell you. Amen. I thank God for critics. Amen. Because they'll say a lot of things to you and they don't even think anything about it. But if we'll just allow that, the grace of God, to come to my life, then it'll grow me up and I'll look more like Jesus in the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they had an appearance that looked good. They had an appearance. The city is pleasant, but the water is naught. And if you look at this word, naught, it actually means bad. And a lot of translations actually say the water was bad. Anybody ever drank bad water? I have. I was in Africa 3 years ago, and I was getting ready to preach. And that lady brought me some water, and I popped the top on that water. I'm telling you, it smelled like something was dead. I'm fixing to drink some of this water. It's not bad. But I popped the top on that water, and it was rank. And I said, "Surely, I didn't know water could go bad." I smelled it. I said, "That ain't the water. It's got to be something else." And the same woman that brought it to me saw me about spit it out. Next thing I know, she come running over there. She said, "I'm so sorry." She brought me a new water. Amen. She gave me, I said, "Thank God." Because it smelled like sewer water. And I mean, it looked clear. I held it up. And I said, "It can't be that." It was bad. Amen. I'm telling you, it was terrible. I didn't know water could go bad. But you know, the problem is, some of us don't think we can go bad either. Some of us don't think we can grow bitter either. We think we're too far walking with God. So some of you will begin to reject even what I'm saying right now, because some of us think that we're justified in where we are right now in our life. And so we're like Jericho. We're part of the curse instead of the cure right now, because it had an appearance of looking good. But can I tell you, water can go bad, because I've experienced it myself. And I know what drinking water in another place that's not good will do too. I've experienced a parasite in my body, and I thought that I was going to die. And so I know what it's like to drink not only bad water, but water that's surely not good for you. Amen. And it will begin to put things on the inside of you that is not good. Can I tell you, water can go bad. And let me tell you, so can you and I. You can go from being good to being bad just like that. Amen. We can grow bitter just like that. All it takes is one moment, one instance to grow from being just on fire for God to being bitter the next moment. And when that water sets in that's now bitter, your life and the source of life will be no good to anybody around you. None. And so Jericho, this city, was a curse, but it had an appearance that seemed right. But the water was bad. So the first thing I want to talk to you today is about bad water. Now listen to me. You can back me. You can go and you can look it up if you want to. I just want to share with you the Hebrew word to bad or not. Now listen to me, because this is serious. Because this is what God sent me to say here this morning. All right? The word not in the Hebrew means evil and good for nothing. The water source was evil and good for nothing. And can I tell you, it's just like whenever we went to Elijah, they had no source of water at all. So we got water there. So now they have five sources of water. But if you're going to get water, then you have to come to one of these sources. It's not ran to their house. And so it's the same way in ancient Israel. They would have a well, and everybody would come to this one well. Jacob's well, this well in Jericho, wherever a well was, they would come to that well from the villages, and they would all get water, and then they would take it back to their houses. So everybody would come to this one water source in Jericho. You know, the beautiful thing is that this water source is still in Jericho, and the water's still healed today. But there was an issue. At this moment, the water was bad. Amen. So everybody would come to this water source and begin to take it. Now, if there's going to be crops, if there's going to be cattle, everybody had to come to this one water source. But there was an issue in the city of Jericho. The water was bad. This word bad or not means evil and good for nothing. Well, let me tell you, if you don't have water, that's not going to be a good day. If you have a source to life that's good for nothing, what good is it going to do? Amen? It also means unpleasant. It means misery. It means displeasing. It means unhappy. It means evil in thoughts, in deeds, and in actions. Vicious in disposition. You ever known some people that's vicious in their disposition in church? I'm coming to church today, but this is how I'm coming. Well, you're supposed to be the source of life. Water is the source of life. Y'all don't shoot me down this morning. I'm trying to help us because this is what the Holy Ghost sent me to say. But we're vicious in our disposition, and this is what we do. Stay away from me. Don't put your hands up near me. You're evil in your actions, in your words, and in your deeds. And you know that you do that, but yet people are coming in from the world, but yet we're to be the source of life, but yet our water is bad. All people heard about what God's doing at that church, and they walk through our doors, and here we are. The worship team is flowing in the Holy Ghost. God's wanting you to lift up holy hands, and you're like, I dare them to lift up their hands around me today, by George. You're supposed to be the source of life. But yet we have an appearance that is pleasant. Go to that church. Go over there. But yet the source of life, the church, the living water. We are to have living water on the inside of us. But whenever we have an appearance of good, but our water is bad, then what are we really? If our disposition is evil, if our water is bad, it means good for nothing. Vicious indisposition. We on purpose keep people away. Listen to this. The root word of this means injury, injurious, or to hurt. Some of us are just hurtful. Some of us injure people on purpose. Our disposition, we know we do it. Come on, somebody. Man, y'all are quiet this morning. It must be too early. Maybe I need to wait and preach this at 10:30. I'm preaching to this house this morning because we are to be the source of life. We are to be the source of life. Water is the source of life. Check this out. Our bodies are 60 to 80% water. The effects of no water or not enough water starts with a dry mouth. Your mouth starts getting dry. Amen. Your mouth ever got dry with the gospel? Come on, somebody. I said, your mouth ever got dry with the gospel? Maybe if you'd try talking Jesus a little bit instead of everything that's wrong a little bit, maybe that water was dry mouth. Come on. I'm too busy spewing out death. Now my mouth is dry. I ain't had no living water in a long time. Why do you think the Bible says pray in the Spirit always? Because if I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I don't have time to talk bad about you. Pray in the Spirit always. Pray without ceasing. Don't judge me because I pray in tongues at Walmart. Amen. I got to. Because I know my heart. I know my water can go bad to bitter just like that. Amen. We got to know who we are and what we're capable of doing. Amen. The first issue that happens, if your body does not get enough water, your mouth will become dry. The Bible says that we are to wash one another with the Word of God. How can you wash somebody with the Word of God if your mouth is dry? Dry mouth. That's the first effect. How about this? These are just things that I looked up scientifically. If you don't get enough water, you will gain weight. How about that? You will gain weight. You know what I heard the Holy Ghost say? Some of us got a lot of baggage. Some of us are carrying a lot of baggage around. Some of us just keep taking more weight, more weight, more weight. Why? Because there's no water source in my life. The water's bad. I can't drink it. The water's bad. I just keep taking on more and more and more. Just bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. You see me go by, what do you see about me? You surely don't see Jesus. You don't see living water. You see a lot of weight that I don't need to be carrying around. Listen to this. You become dehydrated, and then your skin becomes dry. I'm just telling you scientifically what happens. All right, scientifically. You become dehydrated, your skin becomes dry, and here's what the scientists say. Your face becomes less radiant. Come on, somebody. That ain't even in the Bible. That's what scientists say if you don't get enough water. You will become dehydrated, your skin will become flaky, and your face will be less radiant. That's what happens scientifically. Now, what happens spiritually? Come on. The same thing. Amen. My life's going to be dry. I'm going to be flaky to people. I'm going to be crusty. I'm going to be dried up. And ain't nobody going to see Jesus on my face. Why do we need the baptism in the Holy Ghost? This is why. This is why. Listen to this. It produces fatigue. Anybody tired? The book of Jude says, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying what? In the Holy Ghost. People say, why did you get filled with tongues? It's all about you. You better believe. You better believe it's all about me, because when ain't nobody else there, that Holy Ghost will be there in me. Amen. When you want to tear me down, that Holy Ghost is going to build me up. When that world wants to tear me down, Brother Thomas, that Holy Ghost will begin to build me up. Amen. The world may betray me. That church may abandon me. But I came to tell somebody, if I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, that river will build me up. Right. I did get filled for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You should be filled for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I like this. Some of y'all's really gonna like it. It makes you plump. You ever seen some spiritually plump people? Come on, somebody. Amen. We need a good water source, don't we? You know what plump is? I'm not fat, I'm not skinny. You know what that is, right? Double-minded. You can't make up your mind which way you want to go.
Come on.
I'm lukewarm.
Come on.
I don't really know what I want in life.
Come on.
Whoa. I want to be right. But I don't know if I'm ready to get everything.
No.
I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'll take what I get, and I'm just satisfied. I'm not going to give anything out. Just keep giving me in, and now I become spiritually plump. And I just kind of tote this around with me. I'm not going to give anything out right now. I'm just going to hold it for me. This is just mine. There has to be a clear water source. Amen. See, the water was bad. The water is the source of life. Our bodies are 60 to 80% water, and the effects of no water, I just gave them to you. Listen to this. Your body, my body, loses water constantly through the day. How many of you know that? You constantly lose water through the day. So if you don't put water back in, then what's going to happen? You're going to die. You will die. Can I tell you, we lose a lot of things in this battle that we're in called life. You lose a lot through the day. Let's just be honest this morning. You lose a lot. And it's like, God, if we don't put new things in, if I don't drink water, and if I don't flow in the river of God, then what I've lost, brother, is not going to come back in me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dead. Can I tell you, we will die. That devil's out. He's not playing games.
Yeah.
He's out for the throat. He's out to take us out. Dominique, I heard you saying, God, I want more. God, I want more. Did you hear him? God, I want more. I was rejoicing at one time and I was cringing at the next. God, I want more. I failed it, brother. I failed it. But I know what more cost. Less of me. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. See, when we get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, we get all of him. But now he's in us, working in us to work things out of us. We can't get no more of him, but what he does to give us more of him is to empty us out of me so that I can contain more of him. You see, I've already got all of him. Amen. He gives us all of him at salvation, and we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now I get all of him. Amen. I've got him, but now he's working in me. Now if he's going to grow in me, that means I got to die to my flesh. I got to crucify myself. And so when you were saying those things, I said, oh, glory to God, give it to him. But oh, glory to God, give him the grace to make it through those times.
Amen.
I flinched at the same time. God knows the cost of that. God, give this church more. Okay, you ready? Then I'm fixing to empty it out of some things. Bad water in you. Oh, I'm sorry. So if you don't put water back in you, you will die. Or if you put bad water in you, then you are going to be very sick. You will not be able to produce the life that God has for you. I shared this earlier when we went to the mission trip in Africa, the stinky bottled water that they gave me. And here's what a lot of us do. We said, I ain't afraid of that water. I'm going to drink it. The first mission trip we ever went on, Pastor Lee gave us clear advice. Don't eat anything that their water's touched, because you're not fit for it. But I've been on there with a lot of people that said, my stomach's strong. I can handle anything. See, we become prideful. And we start putting bad water in us because we think that we're stronger than the water. We think we're greater than the bad water. Y'all still with me? And so we end up drinking things that we shouldn't drink. That's what happened to me. I was going to drink some of that whatever from Venezuela the last time. And the water wasn't boiled enough. Some kind of tea. It was hot, but it didn't boil the parasites out of it. So here's old Jared and his pride going to try that Venezuelan tea. Well, I got back, and for a month and a half, I thought I was literally going to die. I felt stuff was crawling all over me all the time. My skin was constantly on fire. So then I couldn't be to the full capacity that God had had me to be, because I was prideful and thought, I'm going to drink the bad water. See, sometimes we think that we're greater than the bad water. And so what ends up happening is we become barren. Wouldn't it be a shame to go to Africa to preach the gospel and think that water won't hurt you? You're going to drink it anyway. Well, you go over there to preach to thousands of people, but now you're so sick you can't even leave the motel room. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you that the enemy's agenda is to sideline us every time? So we begin to drink bad water, and then it begins to affect our lives, and we become barren, and we don't produce any fruit. This brings me to my next point. From the outside in Jericho, things seem well situated, but because of the source of life, because of the water, now the land is barren. The whole land is barren. Amen. So you think about this. One water source right here. This is going to be the well, okay? So think, everybody in Jericho came to this one place to get water. And so for all these years, this land is a curse. Now, God's wanting to perform a miracle to change the water source here. God's wanting to change Jericho. God's wanting them to produce fruit. But everybody keeps coming and drinking this bad water. Now, not only are humans consuming the water, but their cattle are consuming the water. And if they're going to grow any kind of plants, grow any kind of fruit, or grow any kind of vegetables, then guess what? Guess what water they got to use? They got to use this water source. So can I tell you there was a curse in the water? The water was cursed. The water was bad. The water was naught. What did I say a while ago? This water, the water was evil. The water was vicious in disposition. The water was good for nothing. The water was unpleasant. The water was miserable. I wonder if some of that could relate to some of our Christian lives. Unpleasant to be around. Miserable serving God. Come on, somebody. But I'm supposed to be the water source and people are coming to me, but yet I'm miserable when they get here. I'm unpleasant to be around. I'm vicious in my disposition. I'm evil. I'm evil. But yet people are coming. But this is my disposition. I am to be the source of life, not only for humans, but if anything's going to grow in this land, then I have to be the source of that too. Can I tell you the church should be the answer for every aspect of life because the word gives direction of that. And so he said the land is barren. From the outside looking in, Jericho seemed good, but the land was barren. Now listen to me just a minute. This word barren in the Hebrew means shekel. It means to make childless. It means to miscarry. It means to suffer abortion. It means to be unproductive. It means to rob of children. It means to cast young. Listen to this. Fruit would form on a tree, but it would fall. My God. Fruit would form on a tree, but it would fall. I wonder if that could be a type of some of our lives. Fruit forms, but it falls. Could that be a picture of the fruit of this church right now? Fruit forms, but it falls before anybody can partake it. If the source of this church is bad, then what will it produce? Nothing but barrenness. Where does that source come from? The Bible says in John chapter 7 that there should be what in me? Rivers of living water that flows in me. The last time I looked, there's no source of water on the inside of this church, brother, in the building. We are the church, the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. And so if we're going to be the source of life, then where is that going to come from? That is going to come from my innermost being. There should be rivers of living water. Now that is Jesus speaking. Jesus didn't say out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. He said out of your belly. Amen. Brother Nathan Middleton preached at Pastor Lee's church the other day, Noah Middleton. He said some of you need to take the cork out of your belly and begin to let that river flow. So let me tell you, church, there's people globally that look at this church, but if they come in and the source of the water in my life is bad, if it's evil, if it's unproductive, if it's good for nothing, then what good are we really doing? Are we producing any fruit, or is our fruit being produced just to form and then fall? I'm about sick and tired of seeing fruit form but then fall to the ground. I'm sick and tired of seeing people abort their callings. I'm sick and tired of seeing premature death, premature ministries, premature callings just die by the wayside because it got a little bit hard. We've allowed bitterness to set in, and God sent me to this house today to say, Church of Jesus Christ, it's time to rise up and begin to put the new cruise and new salt in the rivers of living water in our life. It's barren to make childless, to rob of children, cast young. It means to cast a calf or fruit. Even the cows could not produce new calves. Nothing could produce life. The calves were aborting at 7 months, 8 months. They would get pregnant and they would form fruit, but they didn't have enough strength to push it out. It would die. The fruit trees would grow fruit, but they would fall before the tree for the fruit was ever ripe. It never would make it to full capacity. Can I tell you, a lot of times we do that in ministry. We start, but we don't finish. We start a lot of things. We form, but we fall. Why do we have to keep living in that vicious cycle? We don't have to. Listen to this. It means to deprive or to destroy. It can mean premature death, premature ministries dying, premature callings dying. Premature death, a lot of times, people choose to take their own life and commit suicide. God sent me to this house today to rebuke suicide off somebody's life. Somebody has been tormented of suicide. As clear as I'm talking to you, I heard the Holy Ghost say, he said, I'm going to cast off suicide off somebody's life. Some of you have not been able to have a child. There's testimonies in this church this morning of people that's been able to flow through. Some of you's been asking God, somebody in this church this morning, you've been asking God. God's going to give it and grant it today. God's going to give it today. Premature death, physically, suicide, addictions, spiritually, callings, ministries, and the church as a whole. Listen to this. In the land of Jericho, there was existing life, but no new life was being born anywhere. My God. Could you imagine if no new life ever came into this church? See, we have fruit of the wombs in here right now. Michaela and Marcus is fixing to have their first baby. You see, the doctors told them they would never have that opportunity without help. This precious family right here was told they would never have the precious life that they hold today. But they have it. They have her. God released a word in this house, said it would be so. And it came about. There's something about when the prophet speaks through the word of God. Things that aren't will become as though they are. When the prophet speaks, things that are dislocated and disjointed will fall back into place. They have to. They have to. They can't stay separated. They can't stay dead. They can't stay dry. Because God uses a voice always. And so in the city of Jericho, there was existing life, but no new life. Well, it would be hard to keep going with just everybody that you've always known and there'd be no new life coming. At some point, everybody in that city is going to die off. At some point, every cattle that's alive is going to die because they can keep getting pregnant, but they can't give new life. If we don't give new life in this church, Sister Karen, if our life is not producing new life, I ask you this morning, evaluate the fruit of your womb. Evaluate the fruit of your spiritual womb this morning and see what fruit is following your life. Or ask yourself, what is my water? Am I the cure or am I the curse? Because you can have an appearance of being right. You can talk in tongues and you be bitter. You can produce fruit for a moment, but then it falls to the ground. Nobody can eat off of your fruit. It forms, but it falls. What fruit is following your life this morning? This church is moving forward, not back. I promise you. My mind's made up. You don't know the hell I fought yesterday and last night and this morning just to get to this house. You don't know the hell I'm facing right now in my life, but I made my mind up. I'm moving forward, not back. I don't know who's going with me. I don't know. I don't know. I came to this church this morning thinking everybody may walk away. But I can tell you this, I had my mind made up. I'm tired of fruit forming in my life and falling short. Amen. My mind's been made up today. I've been with God. I came to this house. I may be unordinary. I may be an ignorant fool. But I've been with Jesus today. And I came to this house today to say our source of water has been bad. But I believe God sent me to this house today with a new cruise of salt. A new cruise. God told me I'm doing a new thing. And it's going to look different. Oh, I just lost some of you. Oh, yeah. I just lost some of you. Because y'all can't stand whenever God mentions new. Amen. We're so busy talking about the old path that we can't even just... I said, we just told, there's one scripture about the old path, and there's 1,010 about the new. My God, somebody hear me this morning. I thank God for the old ways. I thank God for the men that God's put in my life. I thank God for a brand new relationship with Brian McDonald. I thank God that he preaches the old way if I've known anybody. I thank God for a new brother in Christ like Mike Chisholm. If there's a man that preaches the old, it is him. I thank God for well-rounded authorities and people in my life to help us see us through. But I came to this house today to prophesy GFCC. God sent me with a new cruise in here. And he said, I'm about to do a new thing. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Amen. The existing life, they had existing life, but they had new life. They had no new life. Nothing was being born anywhere. No new children, no new cattle, no new crops. Amen. Everyone drank the water in the whole land, and it affected everybody. Can I tell you, when the water's bad, it'll affect every facet of life in your life. Everyone. Not just some. Everyone. He said, bring me a bowl. Bring me a new cruise. I'm not making words up. You can read it for yourself. That word cruise means a bowl. It means a jar or a bowl. If you look it up, that's what it means. Amen. I'm not making things up. He said, bring me a new one. That word new there means shadash in the Hebrew. That word shadash means new or fresh. The root word means rebuild and repair. Rebuild and repair. God said, there's some things that need repairing in this house this morning. There's some things that need repairing in this house this morning. Amen. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Amen. Some things have to be rebuilt and some things have and must be repaired. Amen. He said, bring me a new cruise. Bring me a new bowl. And Elisha being the one, amen, to heal the land. Can I tell you that a lot of them, my God, listen to this right here. Check this out. A lot of us fight God doing a new thing. Can I tell you, Elijah was just taken up into heaven. Let's just look back just a little bit. Can we? Verse 15. When the sons of the prophets were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Can I tell you, they saw the evidence of the spirit on Elisha. They saw it, right? You still with me? Amen. I said they saw it. They saw it. But listen, how many of you see God moving right now? I see it. I see it for what it is. But I still have this. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, you shall not go. Can I tell you, they saw the Spirit of God was on Elisha, and they said, we're still going to go look for the old. We see God moving right now, but I'm still going to go look for the old man. He's gone. He's gone. I see God moving right here, but I'm still going to go look for the old prophet. You better be careful looking for the old prophet. You may just get what you want. You may get what you want. That old prophet will offer you bread. God already told you don't eat it. Listen to this, verse 17. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, go. They sent therefore 50 men and they sought 3 days but found him not. Can I tell you, you're not going to find what you once had. You're not going to find what you once had because God's moving us forward. This is a forward movement with God. I'm not going back about anything. It's a forward progression. He said, I told you you're not going to find him. And when they came again to him, he tarried at Jericho. And he said unto them, did I tell you not to go? Can I tell you this morning? I tell you, quit looking back. Quit looking for the old. You're not going to find it anymore. God's in our midst right now. Just let you... get a hold of where you see God moving right now. Quit looking out left and right. Quit trying to find the move of God. Bloom where you're planted right now.
Amen.
Amen. He said, bring a new cruise. Elisha, being the one to heal the land, they were just, in a sense, still looking for the old. Some of us really can't let go of the old move and move to the new. But it's time. The prophet said, I told you not to look. And I say to you today, quit looking back. Look ahead. Look ahead. God is doing a new thing. Samson used a new jawbone. In the New Testament, there was a new wineskin that was formed. Brother David Owens made this statement to me one time. He said, when you move with the times, it's compromise. When you move for the times, it's a new wineskin. Come on, somebody. When you move with the times, well, everybody's blacking their stage out. Then I'm going to black mine out. No. That's compromise. Yeah. But when you make a transition for the times, amen, I'm going to go to Columbia. So now I'm going to worship how they worship. Oh, if we worship that way in America, boy, they'd call it the demonic. But now that I'm over there, boy, it's God. Isn't that fun? And we get ridiculed about people on this platform, but if you just go to Africa, what are you going to say about their worship? It don't look like yours on your platform. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. They wore their African suit today, and they danced like this today. Oh, but now you're not going to call it demonic over there, are you? But it is over here. You see, listen to me. A wineskin is formed from the inside out, not the outside in. Are you hearing me? New wine in an old wineskin, what's going to happen? That new wine is going to put pressure on the old, and the old wineskin is going to bust, and everything's going to be wasted. So God told me, he said, be prepared for the wineskin of this church to shift. I remember God sent me to your church to preach that message. What's on the inside pushes the wineskin from inside pressure to the out. God said, get ready. I'm doing a new thing here. Amen. He said, we're not changing with the times. We're changing for the times. Amen. I don't know what that change looks like, but I do know this one thing. God's going to change things. Amen. It may look different. Amen. That's all right, because you know what? God's bringing new people in. So now that new people's coming in, guess what? We may sing a few more redbacks. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. I love redbacks. Amen. That's all right. Don't shoot me down. Amen. I'm not looking back to the old. I'm just saying we're going to pull them old redbacks out. Amen. We're going to worship the redbacks a little while. Amen. That's all right. Don't shoot me down. Amen. Don't tell me it's got to always be like this. No, it don't. We're just going to worship God. Amen. God sent me to this house this morning. He said, I want you to bring a new cruise. He said, put salt therein. Amen. A fresh move of God. Amen. A new wineskin. The old ain't going to be able to contain the new. Amen. So we're moving not with the times, but for the times. Amen. Why not an old cruise? Because it had leftovers in it. Because that old had leftovers in it. Amen. I don't know anywhere in the Word of God where God went and said, go get the leftovers. The problem is, a lot of us, that's all we bring to God is what we have left over. So we keep bringing an old cruise wanting God to heal the bad waters with leftovers in it. No. God's not going to use your leftovers to cure the curse. I said, God's not going to use your leftovers to cure the curse. It had leftovers in it. And God don't want your leftovers. No mixture. None at all. I shared this out of the book of Ezra the other day about building the new church. 1 Kings chapter 17 speaks of those people, the Samaritans that came to them in the book of Ezra. They said, let me help you build. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They had a mixture. They said, out of one side of their mouth, we're going to worship God, and out of the other side of their mouth, we're going to worship our God. Can I tell you that the story is still the same today? Amen. If you got a mixture in your life, if you're lukewarm, if you think that you know better than the head of this church, then I'm telling you there's a mixture in your life, and I'm telling you you'll be the demise of God moving forward in this house. Can I tell you there'll be no leftovers in a new cruise? Can I tell you it'll be a new vessel? It'll be a new life. And can I tell you that whenever God comes into us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, the old is gone and the new has come. I was what I once was, but I'm not that any longer. Amen. So you can't hold things over my head, because when Jesus looks down upon me, he don't see what you see in me. He sees his son. He sees his beloved, Brother Buck. He sees his beloved. I know that I've been washed. I know that I'm a new cruise. Amen. I know there's no leftovers in my life, because God don't save leftovers. Amen. Whenever we get born again, we move from the old to a new cruise. And can I tell you, the Bible says that we are to be the salt of the earth. Why should we be salt? Because it's a healing agent. I busted my lips so bad in Texas. Ain't even gonna shame y'all why I did it, but whew, I was embarrassed. I looked like Forrest Gump. I ain't gonna lie, not for Bubba Gump. We had to show Lakin who Bubba Gump was. My lip was so big. You know, the only thing I could put in there was salt. Whew. Utah, I didn't want to cry, but there wasn't no way. I was just bearing down, saying tears just rolling down my face. Whew. You try to be tough, that's all. You try to be tough, white knuckle it through there, but that white salt's stronger. Whew. I mean, it lets you know. But can I tell you, I knew that pain. Let's bring a new life. So I just held on. Because God, I know this pain has a purpose. I know it won't be long if I'll just keep enduring this pain a little bit longer. I know my lip's going to get healed. Can I tell you that salt has a healing agent in it? If that water's bad, I can tell you it's going to bring death. But whenever you put salt in there, can I tell you it's going to bring healing? Can I tell you salt's a preservative? Salt will keep you. Amen. Amen. Salt's powerful. Salt has a lot of meanings. Can I tell you, salt will even dissolve snow. Yeah. You can pour salt out. It's powerful. Can I tell you, there was authority in this salt. I didn't know this, but in the book of Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, I don't know who's playing, but you can come. Leviticus 2:13. Let me just turn here. In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Can I tell you this morning, somebody needs some salt poured in their life, because you need healing. Salt has a pulling agent on it. If you eat salt, it's going to pull you to water and make you drink. See, the issue was bad water. But if I put salt in it, salt's going to bring healing. It's going to preserve it. It's powerful. Can't be a mixture of salt. It's got to be pure salt. It's got to be salt poured on the sacrifice. I know that was godly salt. We're to be salt in the earth. Mark 9:49. I'll read this to you. Mark 9:49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if its salt loses its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Let me ask you this morning. Healing starts from the inside. The blessing of God in the whole story is they didn't get a new well and they didn't get new people. God just healed the source of life. God don't need new people. God don't need a new well. God just needs to heal us. God just needs to heal us. Because a lot of us tote a lot of things and we try to manhandle the presence of God. But you can't do that. And I know for a fact that God wants to heal this church. God don't want you to go to a new church. You don't need a new source of life. God just wants to heal the source of life in us. Isn't that right, Dom? Did it work? Didn't work. Michael, your problem's not your marriage. Starts in you. Starts in you. The answer wasn't in Jericho that new people came in. They dug a new well. The water was bad underground. Everything was bad. So God said, get a new cruise and put salt in it. I'm going to pour it in there. So then the water were healed. Listen to this. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha. That meaning the waters were completely healed. Read something to you. That word healed. And this is God's heart for us today. To make helpful, to become healed as a physician heals. Listen to this. Healed of hurts, of others, of individual distresses, personal distress, defects, repaired, cured, mended by stitching to be made whole. Can I tell you that's God's heart today? Today, this same well in Jericho is one of the major sources of life in Israel, in Jericho. One of the main sources. And they said, since Elisha poured salt in, the water never went back bad. Never went back bad, Sister Karen. Can I tell you the same thing can happen today? God can put salt in your life and heal you. He can make all things new. Some of you are just pure bitter. You're mad at life. You're mad at even having to be in church. You could care less about this. God honestly wants to heal you today. But it's up to you. You are the source of life for somebody, and you may not even recognize it or realize it, but you are. And if you're vicious in your disposition to others, then you will stand before Jesus one day and give an account. Remember when I warned you that day? Remember when I told you you were vicious in your disposition? Remember when I loved on you? Remember when I graced you? And now here you stand before me, and how many people you turned away and are in hell today because your disposition was vicious and they did not want what you had. You were plump in your Christianity, lukewarm. But nobody could say anything to you because you were content right where you were. Some of us hold on our rights to be right, right to be angry, right to be bitter. I'm telling you, the water source in here this morning, I'm preaching the same message in the next service and may preach it again in tonight's service. I don't know. I may preach it until God heals the water source at GFCC. Brother Clendenin did. Preached the same message 7 times. He said, I need to have a meeting with your board. So he walked in the room, shut the door behind the people, and they said, no, where's the board? He said, you see him. I am the board. They said, when you going to start preaching something else? He said, when you do what I've preached 7 times ago, repent. Might as well not move on. You hadn't heard me the first time. So we're going to keep preaching the same message. God wants to heal this church because we've seen nothing yet. We've seen nothing yet. When the water source gets healed in this house, Brother Jason, you're fixing to see doors and windows go in next door. You're going to see life begin to move forward. But not until. Not until. The water source will cause things to be barren. What fruit's following your life right now? What fruit? I want you all to come back tonight. I'm going to share the promises of God, some things that happened this week. The provision that came to me, people I didn't even know running to me, giving money for this new church. I've never met them before in my life. There's a promise. There's a promise. So I leave you with this question. Are you the cure or the curse?